The title of today's sermon is Blessed and Highly Favored. And if you are new to this church, you find that it's not just a preaching, it's a teaching. And you need to be interactive. Because my ultimate passion is not just that you hear, but that you understand. Amen. If you don't understand, you know, you may be excited about what you hear, but the moment you left, you've forgotten it. But when you understand it, it's light onto your path. Amen. And the title is Blessed and Highly Favored, but of course, it's not going to be a conventional blessed and highly favored message. I'm going to show you what it means to be blessed and highly favored. Anybody like to be blessed? Anybody who doesn't like to be blessed, they are okay. I don't need any blessing from God. I work hard. I try hard. I'm a good person. I don't need the blessings of God. Anybody like that? Okay, fine. Amen. Yeah. So we're going to look at what it means to be blessed. But I'm not teaching this message from the contemporary way in which blessing is taught. Because many of these things, we are forgetting the Bible. You see, the Word of God. So you see the Bible, yeah? Whether it's paper or electronic. This is the written Word of God. So you see, my Bible is the written Word of God. Amen. And this book also is the master statement of truth in the world. It doesn't change. Truth. If it changes, it's not truth. Amen. Truth never changes. It may amaze you that facts may change. It was raining yesterday. It's not raining today. It was Queen Elizabeth 2 months ago, or 5 months ago, 6 months ago, but it's no longer. And no matter how much you say, may the king live forever, one day, somebody else will take over. Amen? Facts change, but truth never changes. And Hebrews 13 tells us, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. That's why Jesus came and said, I am the way. I am what? The truth. And I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So what I was going to say is that this is the written word of God, but Jesus himself is the living word. Who is Jesus? The living word. That is the word of God. Let me explain the difference between the written and the living. Jesus is the word of God put into practice. Hallelujah. He's the word of God put into what? Practice. Put into expression. Put into reality, tangible reality. Hallelujah. So when the living word of God speaks to you, you better pay attention. Amen? When you're reading the Bible, yeah? Read it with attention. But when you're reading the words of Jesus, read it with what? Special attention. Now, someone say what? But in all, every word of God is special. I agree. But there are sometimes, even Jesus when he's talking, he's telling you, verily, verily, or truly, truly. You know what that means? Pay special attention to this one. Everything I'm telling you is important. But this one is what? Very important. That's why he's saying, repeating it twice. Are you with me? So, we are going to look to Jesus to define for us today what it means to be what? To be blessed. To be truly blessed. And that's what we must aspire to. Amen. That's what we must aspire to. To be blessed is not just to acquire loads of money in the bank. Amen? People who commit fraud can do that. Hello? Sometimes even faster than you. May you never experience fraud in Jesus' name. And if you've experienced it, may you not experience it again in Jesus' name. It feels very bad to be scammed. Yeah? Have you ever been scammed? I was watching YouTube, probably watching a Christian message one Sunday morning, and I see an advert about a product that looks so special, so unique. It's not sold anywhere else. This is special, and it's on discount. 50% discount. If you miss it, it's gone. And I'm preparing for church, yeah? And I just stop what I'm doing, and I quickly, I don't want to miss it. I placed an order. Amen? Please, and I was so happy. In fact, because it was 50%, I placed another for two, not one.
And then the product came in the post. And it looked so cheap and shabby. I was not even confident enough to use it on myself based on how it was packaged. And it came from China. I did my best to claim my money back, but it's too difficult. I said, okay, we're going to refund you, but you have to send it back. And the cost of sending back to China will be like, I spent like £50 in a year. We clear all what I spent. And so I lost it. I felt very bad. It feels very bad to be scammed. Amen. But Jesus will not scam you. Amen. He is what? He is the truth. Say, Jesus is the truth. And when he gives his word, if you can pay attention, you receive truth. And what truth does for you is the truth will make you truly free. Amen? One thing I found about freedom is that there's no freedom, there's no true freedom without responsibility. Hello? If you have freedom without limits, you are entering into bondage. Just take it with me. So you have maximum freedom. You can do whatever you like. You can say whatever you like. You can go wherever you like. You are heading for bondage. Hallelujah. For you to have true freedom, yeah, there must be limits or boundaries. Yeah? Those boundaries will indicate responsibility. It's the responsibilities you take that guarantee your freedom. Hallelujah. Now in Christ, your responsibility is the word. To pay attention. Yeah? To live by the word. Yeah? To follow the word. It guarantees your freedom. I was listening to a message. He said, whenever the devil, this was a lady preaching or teaching, she was like, whenever the devil is showing up in my life or is oppressing me, it means that he has a ground, he has a basis. Yeah? I've taught it before. I said, you see, if it was left to Satan, yeah, he's so wicked. Satan is so wicked that if it was left to him alone, yeah, it would just blow up the whole world. That's how wicked he is. Yeah? He's a destroyer. Yeah? He will just destroy. But why can't he do that? Or why hasn't he done that? Any answer? Think about it. Satan is so wicked and evil that if he had the opportunity, it will just destroy everything. Do you agree? So why hasn't he done that? Think about it. Why? He lacks the legality. Thank you for that. Let's break it down. Anyone putting in simpler terms is correct. Why hasn't he done that? Satan has boundaries. Hallelujah. He has what? Boundaries. And you know who defines the boundary? The word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you see, if you follow the word, if you operate the word of God, you'll keep Satan in his place. Amen. You keep him where? He has boundaries. If he flouts those boundaries, he will be cast into the bottomless pit. There are angels there right now who broke boundaries. And they're there. Hallelujah. So the fact that he's free means that he's operating within those boundaries. Hallelujah. So our job, yeah, is to keep him out of our lives. How do you keep him out? By the word. By the word. The word is the truth. Hallelujah. When you know the truth, when you have a spiritual understanding of the truth, yeah? Satan will not come and dominate your life. If he's dominating, he has a gateway. Hallelujah. Our job is to close that door on him. Keep him out. Hallelujah. You are not more powerful than the devil as a human. But with the word of God and the spirit of God in you, yeah? If you are fully loaded with the word and the spirit, yeah? The devil is no match. Hallelujah. Because the power is in the word. The power is where? In the word and in the spirit. Amen. So now let's look at what the word tells us about being blessed and highly favored. Matthew chapter 5. Yes, let's just read a few verses first and we'll break that down, then we'll take it further. And I really want you to open your heart and pay attention. I really want to walk in the blessing. I really, you know, like, ask me, like, what's my life ambition? I just want to be everything that God has called me to be.
I just found that if I can do that, I have a blessed life. Hallelujah. If all I achieve in this world is that I did everything that God called me to do, I became everything that God called me to be, that's it. Because in eternity, that's how we'll be measured. You'll be measured, your eternity will be measured by the plan of God. It will never be measured by the plan of man. Never ever. It will be measured by what? The plan of God. It will never be measured by the approval of men. It will be measured by the approval of God. So the wise person is someone who can see the future in the present and live for the future. Because why? You are going towards, you are going into the future. You know, we are all headed for the future. Hallelujah. Matthew 5. Blessed and highly favored. See, no matter how much you confess that you are blessed and highly favored, if you want to experience it, you need to follow the word. Hallelujah. It's the truth that makes you what? Free. Hallelujah. Matthew 5. Okay? So I want some people read. So let's just start with few verses. Matthew chapter 5. Let's do verse 1 to 4. I hope to go through them all. Verse 1 to 4. Matthew 5, 1 to 4. You can do New King James Version, New Living Translation, or Amplified Version. Yeah, or any other version you have. Matthew 5, yes, 1 to 4.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountains. When he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed, spiritually prosperous, happy to be admired, are the poor in spirit, those devoid of spiritual arrogance, those who regard themselves as insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, both now and forevermore." Verse 4, "Blessed, forgive, refreshed by God's grace, are those who mourn over their sins and repent, for they will be comforted when the burden of sin is lifted."
Amen. Thank you. Amplified. Let's have another version, just one more version. Matthew 5, 1 to 4. Yes. Tell us which version. Matthew 5, 1 to 4. Please pay attention. These are the very words of Jesus. Jesus is giving you a resume of what it means to be blessed. Hallelujah. Jesus, the living word, is giving you a resume of what it means what? To be blessed. So if you want to be blessed, this is the resume. Hallelujah. Go on, please.
Thank you, JV. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed..."
Thank you very much. Now let's do some teaching. So we have... I want to be blessed. Do you want to be blessed? I don't say, "I'm already blessed." I know you are blessed, but pay attention. Pay attention. Yeah? Being blessed is not a badge you wear. Being blessed is a life that you live. Amen? It's not a badge, it's a life that you live. Amen? Now, the first criteria is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, let me just set the scale, then I'll ask you a question. That means that if I want to be sure that I will enter the kingdom of heaven, I need to be what? I need to be poor in spirit. Who said so? Pastor Ben? Jesus. The way, the truth, and what? The life. So the first question I'm asking myself is, I don't want to miss heaven. Do you want to miss heaven? No. After all the hard work I've done, after everything I've done, I don't want to be found wanting. God forbid. So you say, God forbid. Hallelujah. So what does it mean to be poor in spirit? Come on, let's see. Young people. To be poor in spirit. Remember, he didn't say blessed are the poor. He said blessed are the poor in spirit. So try to merge it together. Yes?
Does it mean blessed is someone who is humble?
Okay. Someone who is humble. More? To be poor in spirit. There can be other words. It's a good answer.
It means that we are ready to receive.
You are ready to receive. Yeah, I like that.
But when you are closed-minded, it's not, nothing is going in. You know, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, one of their problems is they were closed-minded. They were not the worst people. We see they are bad people now, but they were the religious people. They were people who went the extra mile. They were people who gave more to the temple, did more, but they were closed-minded. That even when God himself came, they didn't recognize him. Yes, more? To be poor in spirit. What does it mean to be poor in spirit?
I'm just taking this from the NLT, which says the people that realize their need for him. So they realize their need for
to be poor in spirit is to be in a place where you realize. You see, if you see the trend of my teaching, like studying, if you've seen it, I mean, you've been here almost a year by July. And that's a record. It's a good thing. I love it. I love it. Well done. You're a wonderful person. Yeah. To be poor in the spirit is to understand that on your own, or based on what you said, sorry, to realize your need for him, that on your own, you are not enough. On your own, you can't make heaven. Your best effort cannot qualify. You need God. You cannot be good without God. If you don't settle that question, you are not on your way to heaven. Amen? You need God in your life. Yeah? He is the one that will make the difference. It is by depending on him, by relying on him, by submitting to him, by yielding to him, that you get the power, the strength, the grace to carry on. Hallelujah. You see, grace. Someone said, someone who is, Samantha, you said someone who is ready to receive. I like it for one reason, yeah? You see, anytime you want to do the will of God in any part of your life, you need grace. The will of God is such that you can't achieve it in your mere human power. You need divine enablement. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 6, I believe. It says, God resists what? The proud. But what? What does it? He give grace to the humble. So you say, I need grace. I don't know about you, but I need grace. Hallelujah. Grace can enable you to do what you cannot do in your power. Hallelujah. God is not shaken by your weaknesses. He can give you grace. Hallelujah. But you can't receive grace until you recognize and realize your need for him. Amen? Hallelujah. Yes, any other definition? I saw one more. To be poor in spirit, then we move to the next one. I'm looking at to be blessed.
I would say also if you are quick to be corrected and teachable.
Teachable. Hallelujah. Teachable. You know, sometimes in life, yeah, the help you need is right beside you. But because you are not teachable, you will not receive that help. You are praying, you are going up and down, but it's right. God has a way of placing help beside you. Amen? That's why there's the prince that says, ask and you shall what? Receive. Sometimes it takes humility to ask. Say, I need your help. Can you help me push this car? He says, seek and you shall find. God doesn't always come and put the grapes you want in your mouth. Yeah? He will put it somewhere. He wants you to make the move and, you know, drive some distance. He sees what you're doing. It's a proof. Sometimes your seeking is an expression of your humility. Now you're willing to go the extra mile. Yeah? For something of spiritual value. It's an expression of humility. It's an expression of being poor in spirit. Now, Bible says, when we take that attitude, we are on our way to heaven. And that's why we're blessed. Yeah? And for those who don't really care much about being on their way to heaven, they care only about the earth. When you take that attitude, you will receive grace on earth. Amen? You will receive grace. Yeah? The agenda of heaven in your life, to fulfill it, you need grace. Amen? To be a different person. To be more, you know, you see, as a human, you are limited. You may think you are strong until you meet something stronger than you.
And you find that you're not that strong. Hallelujah. You need what? Grace. And grace comes by humbling yourself. By recognizing your need of Him. By being teachable. Yeah? By being humble. Hallelujah. And that was the same attitude of Jesus. The Bible said, though He was of an equal status with God, the Father, He humbled Himself. Yeah? Took on human form. Yeah? Came to live as a man. Ate as a man. Slept as a man. Suffered. Sweated. Died as a man. Hallelujah. Therefore, God the Father highly exalted Him. And I'll keep teaching that. I said, you don't know. I mean, many Christians have not caught that revelation. He said, you see, if God exalted Jesus, He's giving Him something He didn't have before. If he had this benefit that God wants to give him, if He had it before, then it's not an exaltation. Amen? That at the name of Jesus, every name, He gave Him the name above every other name. So that's why I make to tell you that the name of Jesus is higher than the name of God. It's God that did it. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is God. The Father is God. The Holy Spirit is God. But the name that is given by which we will be saved, there's no other name. You are not saved in the name of God. You are saved in the name of who? Of Jesus. You don't cast out devils in the name of God. You cast out in the name of who? Of Jesus. So God chose to represent that name because of what you've done. It's your name that represents us. So let me just share this with you. For example, like in baptism, you say you baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And that's correct. It's in the Bible. But I tell you, if you baptize in the name of Jesus, you covered it all. Because the name of Jesus represents the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It's a name above every other name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let's move to the next one. Matthew 5. I hope you are seeing blessing. So this is the pathway. So I want to live a blessed life. I must put on the cloak of humility. Why? I will be receiving grace in my time of need. And I don't know about you, but I need grace. You know? I need what? I need grace. Even your work that you do, you need grace. Whether you're a nurse or you are a... Which other one? Tell me. Whether you're a nurse or you're a lawyer, you need grace. There's some things we just turn up that your capacity cannot cope with. It's beyond capacity. You get a project, you get an assignment, and you're like, this one. You know that it's beyond you. You need grace. When grace comes, what you can do in your power, yeah? You will. Because it's divine enabled. It's the way God operates. You see, Abraham, when God gave him a promise that he's going to have a son, yeah, he was still potent. He was still a potent man, even at 75. If I was studying that story, yeah, even when Sarah was 75, she was not complaining. The Bible doesn't say that, oh, it has ended, she couldn't have children. The Bible didn't say so. What she was just complaining is that she's barren. God has closed her womb. So as at 75, Sarah could have children. Because otherwise she would have said, oh, now I can't have children anymore. No, she said no. He said, the Lord closed my womb. But give them 20 more years. Or 25 more years. Abraham was now 99. And Sarah was what? 89. Sarah could not have children. She has passed the menopause. And Abraham was almost certified. Bible says he was as good as dead. In terms of potency. Amen? Hallelujah. But what happened? God gave them grace. Amen? Isaac is not a supernatural child in terms of, you know, that God put it in the womb. Isaac is a product of Abraham and Sarah. God gave Abraham's grace. And both gave grace, Sarah what? Grace. And she was able to conceive. Beyond science and beyond biology. That's what grace can do for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I need grace. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next one. Matthew chapter 5 verse 4. Yes? Matthew 5:4. Let's read it again, and then we'll break it down. Matthew 5:4. I hope you're already feeling, you're already enjoying this discussion on being blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I say I'm blessed, it means I have taken on an attitude of humility. Ready to be taught, ready to receive. Yeah? Recognizing my need of Him. Knowing that without Him, I'm not sufficient. Knowing that I'm not good without God. In fact, I can never be good without God. All my goodness is like filthy rags without Him. He is my sufficiency. Hallelujah. Matthew 5:4. Yes, we're ready. Yes. Matthew 5:4.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Yes. Now, I'm teaching you this because today I got a revelation on this. And you will enjoy it. So I will enjoy it. You know, I always crack this joke. I said, you know what? I can't cook special rice like Sister Toy. But when it comes to preparing spiritual dishes, that's my job. Hallelujah. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, I need to set the scenario to you. You won't understand these verses if you think that Jesus is just speaking to the world. He's not speaking to the world. Jesus is not speaking to the world. He's speaking to his followers. This was the Sermon on the Mount. Yeah? They had all followed him away from public space to private space. Yeah? He's not speaking. So when you are looking at this verse to understand that, he's not speaking to the world. He's speaking to believers. Matthew 5, yeah, is Jesus speaking to those who have already believed on him. He's giving you principles of the kingdom. So that will just help you to open your eyes. It's not the world. It's believers. He's speaking to you and I how to operate in the blessing. Yeah? So I needed to set that right so that you can begin to understand what it means to mourn. So the question is this. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be what? So spiritually speaking, as a believer in Christ, What type of activity do you do that you can mourn and it will bring you blessing? Yes, what does it mean to mourn? Such that you will be blessed in the morning. Oh yes, because I don't mind.
Does while praying and fasting, setting yourself aside for consecration count?
Yes,
I mean, probably depriving yourself of some things, kind of concentrating on the word of God, devoting time.
Yes. Direction, but you've not hit it on the head. You have to hit it. There's an activity you do spiritually that is like mourning. And the Bible says that you'll be comforted. Now, let me, after this, if I don't get it right, I'll give you some clues. Okay?
When you make a sacrifice?
Sacrifice, yeah, not bad. I'll give you some clues. Now, if someone is mourning, young people, someone is mourning, yeah? What are the type of, physically, not spiritually, what are the type of things you see them do? Someone is mourning.
Like crying.
Crying? Thank you very much for that. I like it. Yes? Any other one?
Yes.
Yeah.
When someone is grieving, the whole earth is groaning at the moment.
Groaning?
Because of lack of knowledge. And God's word says, my people perish through lack of knowledge. We are nothing without God's word. He is the word. Amen. Amen. And we need to read it and be led by the Holy Spirit. So I'm asking the Holy Spirit to lead us this day in Jesus' name. Amen. And we give God all the glory and all the honor. And let Him be praised as we read the Word of God and be guided by the Word of God. And help us to guard our hearts, for out of it issues the flow of life. Life. And He's come to give us life. Not death, but life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much. The words I wanted to pick was crying, groaning. Any other word I share with mourning? Anybody? So what is the spiritual activity that you do that because that in the process of doing it, you are crying and you are groaning.
When you're worshiping God.
Worshiping, yes, but you mean like when you're praising God or thanking God? Yes, but that's not what I'm looking for. I know you can cry when you're worshiping, I know. But it's not groaning.
Praying in the spirit when you are making supplication.
In supplication. Hebrews chapter 5, I think it's verse 8. Jesus said, in the days of Jesus' flesh, after the earth, let's open it so that we see that at least. You know, I'm speaking to you from the Bible. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5. I think it's 8, but if I'm wrong, please correct me. That was just on the top of my head. Hebrews 5:7. Yes, we would like to read Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. This is talking about Jesus. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Yes, we would like to do that for Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Yes. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7.
In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence.
Amen. Who was crying there? With tears? What our cry? Loud. Jesus was praying with loud cries and tears. You can't do better. Amen? So, by the way, let me just explain this to you. There are different types of prayer. Not all prayer is the same. It's not every prayer you pray that you'll be crying and looking dead. Okay? Like I was doing this discipleship because I said the easiest type of prayer is the prayer of praise and thanksgiving. If you don't know how to pray, you ought to at least know that it's easy. You enter his gates with what? With thanksgiving. And you enter his courts with what? That was easy. If you can't master that way, you have not started your prayer journey. It's easy. Amen. Say, why do you pray for 1 hour? I'll just praise and thank God for 30 minutes. It's prayer. Hallelujah. It's the easiest. But the hardest type of prayer is supplication. Hallelujah. Supplication is a prayer where you don't really have any basis. You are begging God. To make supplication is to beg. Hallelujah. And usually you're doing that many times on behalf of others or concerning a need that is greater than your faith. No matter the faith you have, yeah, there are difficulties that are bigger than your faith, that your faith cannot carry. Hello? You see, if you have a need and your faith can carry it, you just pray a prayer of faith. Amen? You have the faith. But there are some things that are bigger than your level, whether in your life or in the life of other people. For example, when Jesus was going to the cross, that was bigger than him in the flesh. This was the biggest issue in his life. Hello? I said when Jesus was going to the cross, it was the biggest issue. He said, if it's possible, let this cup, what? Pass over me. That's his faith cannot carry it normally, naturally. No, remember, Jesus is God, he's the Son of God, but we're talking about Jesus in a human body with human emotions. Yeah? So just the same feelings you have. Hallelujah. Sometimes you are very strong in your spirit, but your emotions can bring you down. Amen? It's like maybe you've prayed and fasted, and you have very strong power of the Holy Spirit upon you. Yeah? Looking forward to go and preach to 1,000 people in the stadium. Yeah? You are so strongly anointed by the Holy Spirit. Then you get to the stadium, you see 10 people. Your anointing will drain. It's your emotions that drained it. I don't know if you are following what I'm saying. So our emotions affect us. That's why we need to manage our emotions. Hallelujah. Sometimes you are meaning to do well, then your emotions get the better of you and you just flip. Yeah, you prayed, you planned to do well, but when your emotions get the better, so your emotions on this side of eternity, your emotions are not perfect. You see, when we cross over, or when we are resurrected into new bodies, we will still have emotions, but they will be perfect. God has emotions. God can be sad. It's in your Bible. There are things that make God sad. You know? Do you agree? And there are things that make God happy. Is that not emotion? But God's emotions are perfect. They are not flawed. Yeah? They are not, what? Erratic. Flipping like a bugger. Hallelujah. But as human beings, because we are in this world, this imperfect world, our emotions can be flawed. It's called weakness. That's why you need grace. Amen? That's why what? I need grace. So when you are making supplication, you are facing a situation that has gone beyond your average level, your normal level of faith. Not everybody is on the same level of faith. The person who fed themselves well on the word of God, we have more faith. Because faith comes by hearing. The person who fed themselves on TV and magazines and gisting with their friends and WhatsApp and chat, we have a lot of unbelief. Because that's the book of unbelief is the word. And when you're communing the word, you're communing with what? Unbelief. Yeah? You may still have some little faith. The little basic faith. Every believer has some little basic faith. But as you feed on the word, your faith will be growing levels. But even with your levels, yeah, your faith has a level each time. There are some problems that are bigger than your current level of faith. Yeah? When you have entered the level where you have, imagine you have an unbeliever, yeah? We need something from God. An unbeliever, they don't know God. And they have a great need. What are they going to do when they are praying? An unbeliever goes to pray God. He doesn't know God. He's never prayed to God. He's cursed God in the past. But he has a big problem. And he wants to pray. What are they going to do? How will they pray? How will they pray? How will an unbeliever pray? What will be the approach?
Try and make a deal with God.
They will beg. They will make a deal. They will do it. They will play every tactic. Yeah. You understand? Because they have no faith. So you beg. Amen? Yes, Christian.
When I read people, unbelievers, share miracles, they go, oh, last week or last year, my prayer was, I don't know if there's a God, but if there's a God, please help me, please heal my child or heal my spouse or whatever. You know, they just say that prayer without faith, really. Mm.
Yeah, because they don't have faith. Yeah? But there's still a basic level. You see, even when you don't have faith, you have some little faith. Someone who is praying has some little faith. If you have zero faith, you won't pray. Does it make sense? Faith is in levels. Amen? So, when you have very little faith, you come to God, then you beg. Hallelujah. But that prayer is still valid. Because it's working on the mercy of God. Amen? It's working what? On the mercy. And the Lord is gracious. And is what? He's compassionate. He's slow to anger and is what? Rich in love. Hallelujah. Now, we're looking at blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be what? Comforted. Yeah? Let's go to Luke 18. When I finish it, I will stop there after I've explained it, taking any questions. At least, stop there. I'll do a part two later. Luke 18. I just want to show you the principle. Now, in the past, I've struggled with this Bible because I'm trying to understand between praying in faith and begging. Because I say, if you are in faith, you don't beg. Amen? If you are in faith and your faith is strong concerning something, there's no need to beg. You just pray and believe that you received it. Amen? But there are challenges bigger than your faith. For example, when you are praying that God should move in another person's life, yeah? They have a free will, don't they? So, are you trying to control them? Yeah? Your faith cannot control them. Am I right? So, your faith is not enough when you're praying for other people when they're in like a difficult situation or they are difficult persons. Yeah? You need to make supplication. Because it's the mercy of God it's by reason of the mercy of God that God will touch them. If you want someone to change, yeah? You need to make what? Supplication. Let's show you the principle there. Luke 18. Open to Luke 18. So it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be what? Comfort. It's talking to believers. Okay, so someone, a good reader, Luke 18, verse 1 to 8. Luke 18, 1 to 8. Someone was not any, yes. Okay, yes. Please follow. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8.
Then Jesus told his disciples a parable.
Please pay attention. Who is speaking? Jesus. Who is he speaking to?
Disciples.
His disciples. So it applies to me now. Pay attention to this principle. Luke 18. Go on, please.
Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night?
Who cry out to him? This is Jesus telling us about the chosen ones of God crying out to God.
Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?
Amen. Now remember, I didn't say you have no faith. You have faith. Amen? Say, I have faith. But you are facing a problem that is bigger than your faith. It happens. Amen? Not all problems are equally difficult. Then, there's another one I want to say. Not all people are equally what? Difficult. Some people are more difficult than others. Have you dealt with people? Amen. Some people, you just pray for them and the prayer will work. Yeah. But some, you'll be praying for years. Yeah. But what the Bible says is, you don't give up. You don't give up. Blessed are those who mourn. Stay there. Hallelujah. If you are facing a difficult situation, a difficult person, stay in prayer. You are appealing to the mercy of God. Yeah. Stay there. The problem is that you won't stay there. You'll be tired. You're weary. You walk away. You say, if God will do it, he will do it. No, it doesn't work that way. He will do it because you are crying out to him. I don't know if I'm getting through. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be what? So many times, there are sometimes when the situation is difficult or when the person is difficult, God is looking for somebody in the earth who will keep crying out to him. Because let me tell you why this works. You see, if someone is difficult, if someone is difficult, let's assume that someone is very nasty, very mean, very hard. If God gave them justice, what will they get? He will destroy them. Isn't it? Someone is mean, someone is nasty, someone is selfish, someone is hard, and God wants to give them justice. What's he gonna do to them? He will wipe them off the earth. So, what do they need to change? Justice or mercy?
Mercy.
Yeah? Is it not mercy? And we, the law of mercy is that you beg for it. Oh, have you ever met a beggar on the street? Yeah? They don't have any basis to collect money from you, do they? They don't have any relationship with you. No guarantees, but they beg. Yeah? They stay there long enough until they stir up your compassion. This is what Jesus is writing there. And didn't write it. Amen? But many times, we are not patient enough to sacrifice and cry out to God about something or someone that we care about. So, we don't get comforted. Because we're not crying out. Look at, he said, can you just read to me I'm gradually rounding up. Verse 7. Please follow what Jesus is saying. If you have a red letter Bible, those words are in red. Follow what Jesus said. Luke 18:7.
And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night?
What is the frequency? He's like, I'm not reading the Bible. He's there. Hallelujah. They cry out what?
Day and night.
Yeah. When you're doing it, you're walking the mercy of God. Amen. There are some things that we have failed in. I didn't say you, we. Because we didn't stay there long enough. We came weary. Your emotions got the better of you. Amen. Hallelujah. But if you will stay there, if that matter matters a lot to you, you will stay there. Yeah? You keep talking to God about it. It's not that God is deaf, but it's the balance of justice and mercy. Because God is a just God. So we say God is a just God. So in the law of justice, you get justice. Amen? But just like in our law course, there is justice, there is mercy. Hallelujah. So on in general, what you get is justice. If you're in a fair law court, what you're going to get is what? Justice. Yeah? But there are some times that you don't get justice. You get what? Mercy. Hallelujah. You can also cry to God for justice. Something is oppressing you. Someone is oppressing you. And they are refusing to change. You can start crying and say, God, judge them. I'm not saying you should do it, but there are situations where you need to, because there are some people that will not change until God brings them down. Yeah? Some people will never change until God brings them down. So that they now feel like a loser. So they are now poor in spirit. Now they can pay attention. Amen? Don't give up. Don't give up. Please turn to your neighbor, tell them, don't give up. Hallelujah. Your attitude must be that even if 1,000 people won't get it, I am determined. Cry out to him. You know, if you have a loved one, they don't know God, don't keep quiet. How can you keep quiet? How much do you care? It's a test of how much you care. Yeah. Cry to God and say, Lord, you cannot afford not to save this person. You cannot afford not to touch them. God moves because you cried. It's not me that is in the Bible. You saw it. So blessed are this woman. Because what? They will comfort. It's not mourning in self-pity. This is not what he's saying there. He's crying out to God. You cry out to him. You know, God is so good that even when someone who is not a believer, never knew God, they've lived in rebellion and sin. And then they get it, but they cry out to God. I say, God, if you are there, I want to know you. And by mercy, he will change. Hallelujah. He's a good God. Say, God is a good God. Okay. Later on, we will look at the other aspects, but I don't want to preach too long today. But I'm showing you how you can be blessed. These are the principles. And there are more. But let's stop there today. Yeah? So there is a place for crying out. Day and night. Hallelujah. And the Lord will move in his mercy. Yeah, in your life. In a difficult situation or in the life of another person. If you are the one making the supplication. Let me finish on this note. The Bible talks about Prophet Elijah. Anybody know Prophet Elijah? Ever heard Prophet Elijah? Wave, let me see who knows Prophet Elijah. Okay, that's fine. Prophet Elijah was one of the strongest prophets in the Old Testament. He's second only to Moses. He's not greater than Moses. Yeah? He's second. He's number two. Elijah went to face the king of Israel. The whole nation was in idolatry. They were worshipping the idol called Baal. They were turned away. Jezebel was the wife of Ahab. And Jezebel brought in the idols. The priests, who should be priests of God, have been converted to false prophets. So Elijah comes in. And one day you read in your Bible, he says that Elijah just spoke to him and said, there will not be rain for 3.5 years. Yeah? And when we read that, he's like, ah, what a powerful prophet. He said, by my word, there will not be rain. Amen? But when you go to James chapter 5, then you see the secret. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Yeah? Let me see what time is saying there. To decide whether I won't open. You'll read it later. The secret is there. The Bible says that he was a man like you and me, but he prayed fervently that there should be no rain. You think that was just a 30 minutes prayer? He stayed there. He cried. He sobbed. Hallelujah. This is not an ordinary miracle. To stop rain over a nation for 3.5 years? No. He prayed, and you know, because someone said, oh, maybe that's my imagination. No, it's in the Bible, because the Bible does not tell us, describe what he did before, but it describes what he did after. When there was no rain and he wanted to bring back rain, the Bible describes that he bowed himself to the earth, put his head between his knees, and was there praying, crying to God. Yeah? If you will persist enough, if you will cry out enough, what is impossible by your faith? You know, like by your faith is impossible because your faith cannot carry it. But with God, all things are what? Impossible. And then when you see it happen, you'll be comforted. You'll have seen the fruit of your labor. You see, when you see the fruit of your labor, you feel comforted. Hallelujah. You see, when you feel like you're living in vain, you feel weary. But when you see the fruit, you feel what? Come. Let's rise up. Let's rise up and talk to God. I believe that God has spoken to you today. It's a word of encouragement. To be blessed and highly favored. Jesus gave us the master principles. It was there all the while. We got so used to it, we forgot it. To be blessed and highly favored is to have the power of God working in your life in all the areas. To have the power of God invading the issues. To come to a point whereby you are free of all entanglement. Free to worship God in spirit and in truth. Free to be a vessel that God can use. God can use and send someone and use it to make a difference in their lives. That is to be blessed. Amen. You are not yet blessed until you are usable by God. So I want to talk to God. Two things we talked about: being poor in spirit, maintaining an attitude of humility, teachability, recognizing our need of Him, depending on Him, relying on Him, depending on His grace, asking for grace, seeking for His grace, going that extra mile. To learn more of Him and to receive more, knowing that without Him you are nothing. That is to be poor in spirit. But guarantees, if you keep that attitude, you can't miss heaven. Can't. He said, "This is the kingdom of heaven." And the second prayer is, you know, to you say, "Blessed are those who mourn." Where do we mourn as believers? It's in the place of supplication. Supplication is a special type of prayer. That's going to be beyond the level of what you can handle. You're crying out. It's crying to God. You see, if your Christian life does not involve those type of prayers, it's like you're on baby level. You cry out. You pray for people and say, "Lord, touch them." You are so burdened about it. Tears come out of your eye. It's a labor. It's like a mother in labor pains. And the Bible says that if you continue there, the day is coming where you will get that request. You shall be comforted. It will happen. You know, it will happen. Your labor will not be in vain. So I want you to just commit yourself to those two principles. because they guarantee those blessings. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Help us to truly walk in these blessings. We don't want to be just all talk and no action. We don't want to be just all empty wishes. We really want to live this life. We really want to experience God, and we really want to be instruments that God can use for other people to experience God. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come upon us, strengthen us, empower us, empower us, empower us, empower us, empower us.